September 23rd, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam, Warfuddin Muhammad commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. We will open with a short dua, and then we will continue. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we begin the program, our beloved brother Imam Rashid Muhammad, the latter janazah was today, this morning in Patterson. And we're asking all the believers, and when I say all the believers, I'm talking about the people of all faiths, to say a short dua for our beloved brother, ask Allah to bless him, forgive him his faults and his sins, and admit him to a high place in the paradise. Donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people. The Quran Surah 65, Ayat 5, pardon me, the Quran Surah 62, Ayat 5, Donkey Carrying Books, Bukhari, page 5, 607, Prophet Road, White Mule. Matthew 21:2, Jesus asked for a donkey. So what Jesus asked for, he said, go and find me a donkey untied, with no ties on him, meaning nobody has claimed him. It says, and when you find him, bring him to me. And if anybody questions you, tell them the master has use for them. He did not say, tell them Christ had use for them. Jesus had use for them. He said, tell them he, master, has use for him, for the donkey. So this donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people that nobody cared for. Out there, nobody claimed it. Nobody wanted him. He's too dumb and too and do anything, not even compatible, and then stubborn too. A donkey is not only dumb, he's stubborn. He won't follow, and he's temperamental. He will carry you for a while and then stop for no apparent reason and then look at you like he's saying, it's my business, I stop when I please. So this is how he stops and looks at his rider. Jesus' donkey dissatisfied and defiant masses. But that is the kind of following he wanted, because if he didn't, he would have said, get me a donkey untied. He did not say, get me a camel untied. A camel is not stubborn, defiant. A donkey is stubborn and defiant. So what is he appealing to? The dumb, uneducated, ignorant masses who were dissatisfied and defiant. He wanted to put something into vessels, meaning that they to do not have anything in their minds of what the world wants in their mind. So in the world, they are empty vessels. wants to put it into those in the vessels, a new wine. So this is scripture. If you don't know that Mr. Farag came in the role of Jesus Christ, playing the role of the Christ, then you don't know Mr. Farag yet. W.D. Farag or W.F. Muhammad, whatever you want to call him, that he left, those are his names. He came, he studied the Bible. He studied our condition, and he chose for himself to come in the role of Jesus Christ. Give me your tithe and burden. So how did Jesus Christ deal with the government? I'm coming back to Adam, but you should know this. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? He knew the government would persecute him if the government knew what he was doing. He knew the government would stop him, so he presented himself to the government in a way to make the government permit him to do his work. He said, give me your tithe and burden. Isn't that what he said? So here he is appealing to the government people. You have some dissatisfied people. They are tired with all of the burden of your society on them, and they are the ones who will revolt and rebel against you. I come to save you from your own troubles that you have in your society. Give me these, and I have something for them that will attract them and hold them. Now, can they trust him? The wise, they heard his language. They see his language. He is saying that I am going to take away from you your fears of your disgruntled, unruly, bitter, and some angry members in your society. I want to take that burden off of you. I'm going to give them something that will contain them, hold them, and you won't have to worry about them. But can they trust him? Juma. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 9 to 10. Leave business when called to prayers. So the purpose for our existence on this earth, is to serve our God, and it doesn't mean in rituals. It means to serve God with your soul, with your intelligence, with your whole life. So this is another place, and I'm concluding this. That is, again, where we differ from this Western idea of freedom and democracy. We come to Juma and are told when the call to Juma prayer service is made, leave off business. So the businessman is ordered by God that when the call to Juma service is called, he has to shut up his shop. He has to close shop, stop selling, and hurry to Juma prayer service, congressional prayers. So this is in Al-Islam. The same chapter on the Quran on Juma says, and when the Juma prayer service is over, has concluded, disperse and go back into the avenues of business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is telling that business is necessary for the life and progress of society. But it is not the highest value. The highest value is devotion to your God. So when you are asked to come and devote your attention to your God, close up your shop and come and devote your attention to your God. Juma not rest day, but productive day. Then when the prayer service is over, go back to your business. Take care of your business. So our day out of the week for prayer service is not a day of rest. So this is not separate from the point that I've been making ever since I began speaking. It is not a day of rest. Our rest is in our productive work. That's where our rest is. So you want to rest, work, and produce. as how you rest. So the more your services increase, the more your property grows, and the more you rest. So understand, Muslims, we don't believe in one day of rest. We believe in 7 days of work, and that is in our rest. And some of us, that's what happened. We get off work, and we go back Monday. We're out of it, can't recover from a weekend off from work. So we are not going to rest. Call to prayer, horn, bell, and voice. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 9, call to prayer, leave off business. Mount Sinai, Terra Sinim. And it is a reference to spirit. So Jews in the history of the people of the book were first before the Christians. And the Jews were a people who needed a spirit of God to come into them so they could be directed to their contract with God or covenant with God. And the Christians, not the Christians, but the people who converted to Christianity, they were a people formed and ready to receive God, but already spiritual, having spirit. And God chose to inspire the Jews. We have it in Mount Sinai. Moses went up to Mount Sinai. And the Mount Sinai is called Terra Sinim. It is a reference to spirit. So the Jews were brought to go seek God to have a covenant with him by spirit. So when we think of Christians, we think of Europeans who accepted Christianity. They were the first to accept Christianity, Europeans, the Greeks and the Romans, and other Europeans embraced Christianity. So they were a people who had to get Christianity not direct by inspiration or spirit from God. They had to get it from the sound of the word. And we have the expression now, that word has a ring, a familiar ring. So they had to get it from the sound of the word. And Muslims were not to be in either situation where he had to search to find God and get a spirit in us to find God. I mean, Muslims of the world, not just blacks. The people, I should say, people at that time of Al-Islam, the revealing of Al-Islam, they were in a state where they weren't in a state, pardon me. They would say these people need the spirit of God in them. The world had much of the spirit of God in it, but the world was not in the right shape. And the Christians had already indulged the world and tried to get the message. The sound means the message in the world, in the word. So when the church has that ringing bell is still there preserving their idea of them as a people who had to get guidance from listening to sound. They listened to words, and they found connections for the two. I wish I had the time. You would be surprised. This language is universal. It's not limited to any one language. And if I had the time, I could convince you. If you're intelligent and stay rational, I could convince you that's what I'm saying is true. So the language is universal, and the sound will connect meaning for you. Not all the time, but many words have sounds similar to another word. And it will so happen at certain times or for certain situations. It will so happen that that sound, that common sound, reveals something to you. So when you get help from the two words, you get the help from the meaning in this word, you get the help from the meaning in this other word, that sound is similar. So then you will get the help that and the meaning will come to tell you. to reveal something that was hidden when those words were separated and common sound hadn't brought those words together. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to struggle like that. The Christian leaders, they were 300 years trying to settle an argument, reading scripture, and they were blessed to be helped by the sound 300 years before they came to a conclusion. And when they came to a conclusion, they came to the wrong conclusion. They had a majority had come to the wrong conclusion. The Eastern Church did not accept the conclusion that they came to, the Greek Eastern Church. So what is the nature of divine? What is the nature of man? So what is man's nature? What is God's nature? So what is the nature of man? What is divine nature? For three centuries, finally, they came to a conclusion. Yes. And now he mentioned that we don't have the horn or the bugle or the trumpet. We don't have the bell. But we must have a human being. Bilal was the first one given the call with the human voice. Hayya ala salat. Allahu Akbar. First to the end. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala Halal, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. So it is the human voice, the human voice. What does that tell us? It tells us to bring it to a quick conclusion. I'm going with, and I do this, God has evolved man, and he has aided man onto the path of his progress of evolution. With his spirit. First his spirit, then his word. And then the man speaks, peace, assalamu alaikum. The Quran, Surah 63, Ayah 3, God made your features excellent. Revelation 2:17, hair white wool. So your hair is not made for the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tied together like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and stop and drop, pardon me, as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair. They serve to keep your precious head cool in hot climate. Water is a coolant. So we are just talking about this kind of reasoning with color problems. Before going on to our subject, what is a coolant? Black affects of color. White reflects color. So you might say black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effects from color being absorbed into each other and taken in. So what we call white is the effects of color being reflected altogether. So in the creation, in the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scales, we see the colors of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealed to the physical eye. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 3, made your picture excellent. So we are first made aware of our common life of excellence that we have and shares with all people. God tells us in our Holy Quran, he made our design and he made it most excellent. The Arabic, according to our Holy Book, the better and the best identity that he gave us is our human identity. That is to be understood in the aim for excellence in human nature. God creates us or created us. So racial, national identities not last forever. So he created us from human excellence. And this is our common heritage that we have. And we should care more about this common heritage than we do about color or our skin or the nation that we come from, etc. Because these things are temporary. The racial classification is temporary. They're not going to last forever. And also, the national classifications are not going to last forever. But what God will receive, if we are blessed to survive this physical world, what God will receive is our human souls and its excellence. So the Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 3, God made your features excellent. We give black inferiority. So we do have a color problem, brothers and sisters. It has been bred into our minds so long, for generations down to generations, until now we just live black inferiority. We can talk black superiority, but because of this being in the core of our minds and spirit, we live black inferiority. It's time to wake up. Hair nappy is good. How often have you seen a black flag wearing brother or sister in our community? He is the one who even wants his dress shirt to be black, red, and green. He wants his socks to be black, red, and green. He'll come out with some water glittering shoes that are black, red, and green. He wears a knitted cap, black, red, and green. He's black, black, black through and through. Yet when he talks, he says, yes, she's got good hair. She's so fine. What he means to say is that she has nappy hair or kinky hair. When he says that she has bad hair, he means that she has straight hair. When he says she has good hair, I don't see people, when they are buying fabric in the fabric market, picking nappy material and saying, give me a piece of that bad carpet, or give me a piece of that bad earth cloth for me. They say that they would like to have this woolen nap rug. It's not bad when they're referring to it off of their own body. But when it's on their own body, they say that is bad hair. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 138, baptism of Allah. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah seeks you in mother's womb. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah shapes you in the womb as he pleases. Revelation 1, page 1, 14 to 15, hair, white wool, feed, burnt grass. Nappy hair, cooling is hot climate. So who has taught you that it's bad? What is bad about it? It's good. Strong hair, and it protects your head. The book says of Christ that his hair was white like lamb's wool. But the Christ on the cross that we see and cherish has straight, stringy hair. Why do you say your hair is bad and kinky? You should stop using the white man's comb. He made that comb for his hair. Go get yourself a comb for your hair. You've neglected your hair so long that it doesn't even look healthy to you. It's just like a nice, beautiful, attractive, nappy rug that you go to the store and buy today that you care nothing about. If you leave trash on it, if you let anybody walk in off this dirty streets and track mud all over it, and if you never vacuum it, pretty soon it is going to be ugly and unattractive. When you brought that nappy rug, it was pretty. Your nappy hair is also pretty when it comes here. But you start neglecting it. I don't care how nappy your hair is, if you could, or if you would clean it and take care of it and give it half the attention that you give the Caucasian hair, it will be clean and pretty, becoming to you, healthy and strong. Your hair is not made for that kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair that serves to keep your precious head cool in the hot climate. Water is not a coolant. Pardon me. Water is a coolant. So we are just talking about this kind of reasoning with color problems before going on to our subject. What is a coolant? Water is a coolant. We're just talking about this kind of reasoning with color problems before going on to our subject. So color, cooler with the colors of righteousness. So we have to first see what is wrong with the world. To understand the subject, remake the world. Let's take a look at nature itself and see if we see color superiority in nature. The earth is many colors. I have been blessed to travel outside of this part of the world into the east and into the south and into the Caribbean, Africa and Asia. I have looked at the soil and I found some soil black, some gray, some even white, red in different shades. I came back home and I thought it over and I said that the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, wisdom is truly great. He said in one of his books that the color of the universe is the sun. Being himself a creation of a product of divine scripture, he spoke with the language that was the same as the language we find in the scripture. He spoke in the language of symbolism, but he spoke great wisdom. He's telling us in that book that the sun gives color to the earth, and all the colors are in the sunlight. So we know that when we see the rainbow after the rain, when the sun is still shining and the clouds have passed, but the mist is still in the air from the heavy rain, we see in that mist, by penetration of the sun rays, a rainbow that reveals the six basic colors. When we look at the soil of the earth, we see of the sun. So black affects of color, white reflects color. You might say, black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effects from color being absorbed into each other or taken in. What we call white is the effects of color being reflected altogether. So in the creation, in the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scale, we see the colors of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing to the physical eye. Again, I thought and I reflected on the Holy Quran, where it described how the colors run together at the top of some mountain in the rocks. Then I saw a great lesson and great beauty, and this from the Holy Quran. But I won't go into this. I'll keep moving. Then one day, just for the fun of it, I decided to just think on color in nature. Right away, I asked how the white man could think that everything white is pure. Magnets are white. And no white man would tell you a cup of magnets is pure. Then I thought about the fly. I said, I've seen black flies and white magnets. So I have told you these things to say this. It is not the color of the material. It is the color of that lives in, rules over, and directs the material. So we are told both by the Holy Quran and Bible to color ourselves with the color of righteousness. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven heavens prophets. Similar from the earth, Meslehuna, Meslehuna, higher sensitivity, created above willing obedience in man. Inherent nature, then he becomes conscious. Seven major prophets, man, in those graduations. There's sensitivity in man. Then a conviction, God wants it to conform to a logic. Proof, where sensitivity becomes a conviction. God connected prophets' reality with the external reality. Show them the basis of their nature, sensitivity in the external world. Their conviction was so strong, we see, them outside of us. They are no more than expressions fulfilling themselves that God created in man. The inner potential of man finding its place in the external world. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven ways above and like in the earth. Bukhari, Volume 1, 345. Seven prophets, heaven. One, Adam. Two, Jesus. Three, Joseph or Esau. Four, Idris. Five, Aaron or Harun. Six, Moses or Musa. Seven, Abraham or Ibrahim. So the seven refers to the natural steps of growth that takes place in the content of the individual. There are seven major prophets in us. They lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow, because the leader he sent represents an inborn, innate in us. So Allah gives to all, every person, nature urge for excellence and social maturity. So the one staying, with the God-given direction in his nature is the one Allah should make the leader for all the rest and for all times to come. Six, seven numbers. So the Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven above, and a similar in the earth. Bukhari, page 4, 429. Seven heaven, the prophet visited. 1 Samuel 2, 5, a barren has borne seven. They that will hire out themselves for bread, and they that was hungry cease, so that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is wax fleeable. 1 Samuel 1:20, Hannah breath Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:21, Hannah three sons, two daughters. Revelation 13-18, number of the beast is 666. So man-child is birth of a mind of a prophet. So the birth of a prophet is the birth of an inspired person, a divinely inspired mind. And when this type of person is born in the society that never had one like that, in the old ancient society, they refer to that person as a birth of a male or a man-child. But when they were saying man, they weren't referring to flesh. They were referring to mind, the man that God desires, when he said, I'm going to make me a man. So Hannah birthed Samuel. Hannah three sons, two daughters. Hannah child called Samuel. So seven, not quantitatively, but seven qualitatively, so that the mind that God desires for his human being is the thing that they are referring to in the book when they say that she gave birth to a man child. This Hannah, when you read this in Samuel, you will see that Hannah did not have seven children. She didn't have any children. But Hannah finally gave birth to one child whose name is called Samuel. And when she gave birth to that child, she said that God now has given me seven children. How now is it interpreted that one child is seven? Seven is a mystic and spiritual religious number, not meaning seven quantitatively, but seven qualitatively. So this child has developed up seven rings of quality. He passed from one quality to another quality through seven, and now he is like the seven children, because there are many who came, and they do not get but one of these. He is one child with all seven. So his number is given, seven. And she felt as though she had seven children. Not that she had seven physical children, but she had one inspired child. That society had one son amongst them, meaning one prophet, one enlightened person, amongst them who had the divine knowledge. And that knowledge is described as the knowledge of seven, or God's knowledge. I seven look for good and seven look for bad. And we see this seven in the early part of Genesis. So when God says that he made the heavens and the earth, the man and everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, again we run into this when we read in the Bible, that there are eyes that go throughout searching the earth. They are of two classifications. One are the eyes of the Lord. They are seven that goes out searching the earth to help the righteous, those who are struggling for righteousness, to build them up, to encourage them. And then there are seven more that goes out to tear down. 6666 means materialized in senses, moral, and mind. So the number of the beast is 666. Now, one of these seven has to be false. Both of them have the seven. So here is a society or group that has gotten into the divine society and has gotten the divine classification, but they are not doing the job of divine. They are doing the job of six. And the book says, he who has wisdom, count the number of the beast, for his number is 666. He was not just six once or twice. He grew to be six three times. His senses materialized. The senses are in the flesh. His moral form materialized. And his mind materialized, so he was even in spirit materialized. So he was materialized in all of the three forms. So where is the beast? Right out here. The one who has only the 1-6, he's been dead a long time ago. Noah's flood killed him. But that one who was revived, he's still around here now, 666. And he is in the lake. In the lakers of fire. So the Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, save your family from fire. So the need for a hero, Allah made our parents, children used to take their trade from their fathers, uncles, and relatives. Other people would pass down their skills and trade. That's how we have the glad trade union. It's nothing but tradition that was established by parents, and now the union has taken them over. Children don't have industrial, cultural heroes So they go to the gang for their style of life, leadership, because there are no heroes in the house anymore. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. So the devil advises children not to listen to the parents or religious teaching and to make up their own mind. The result is that we have a rebellious and a defiant youth. So God has put it in the nature of the creature to believe that the overwhelming majority, because in normal conditions, the majority is right. But at the end of the world, Satan creates an unnatural situation and makes the majority of his subjects. Satan says, you are your own judge. And by doing so, make the youth feel inferior or of subhuman intellect. If that youth allow the parent, a moral, upright person, to lend advice to that youth's life. The system says to the little girl, don't worry about obeying parents or religion. They give out contraceptives to induce this behavior. Children who choose the world over parents who have worked hard to show them the right way should be rejected, put out. After they are grown, keep them until they grow, then put them out. Our parents in the South would do this. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself, family, from fire. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 107, hell dwells as long as heaven, earth exists. Bukhari, Volume 7, T7. 17. Hell comes out, La Ilahi. Many people weep over family members that has perhaps transgressed so far that the person has put themselves in hell. We don't have the power to pull out any dwellers of hell. The individual must make the change themselves. Hell is external and conditional. The person can go to hell, but if there is something good in the nature, strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling that person out of hell one day. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, hellfire, a blind passion. Passion into destructive nature. When fire is done with a thing, what is left? Smoke. Where is the form? Fire bends, twisting, changes the form. Human nature is the same way. If you let your desire, passion go to extreme, where they become self-destructive, you're giving yourself to the fuels of hell. Three-pronged fall. One sticks you in your passion, flesh, to pain your body. Another to pain your mind. To pain your spirit. The devil puts you in the fire of your own wild, extreme passion. So your natural love for things that you shouldn't love anyway. The world is designed to throw you into a furnace of self-destruction and burn you up with your own nature. You have the wildness in your nature. If you don't control it, it will burn you up. X, when you love the extreme and forget the moral right in your relationship. Does hell last forever? What is forever for a human? Yes, for a disobedient, hell-bound soul, Allah says forever. In one place and in another says, for as long as he wills. So it will be forever to you, but Allah will eventually change everything. It all will perish except his faith. But according to your own mind and thinking, yes, it'll be forever. So the Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and your family from a fire. So Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6. Save yourself and your family. Al-Hadith, page 1, 307 to 100, Allah hand on group. Genesis 5, 2, call them Adam. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, Christ's body. Romans 12, 4, Christ's body. Genesis 5, 2, Adam, single and plural. I'm giving you Quran, the dates and the times, so that you can look this up yourself. Do your own research. Support families, not individuals. Now, we want to support families, neighborhoods, communities. And that means also support individuals. Individuals don't live outside of families or outside of communities. The only way for individuals to live is inside of families or inside communities. Don't have your programs to help individuals unless you are a doctor or something that is different. Administering medicine, you have them come one by one. But if you want to help the social life, the community life of people, then help community life. And you will also be helping individuals because those individuals live in communities. Usually the problem for the individual is the problem for his community. They don't exist separately. They are always together. If there is a big problem for us employing our youth today, that's not a problem of our youth. That is a problem of our community. I am meeting with leaders in religions, Christians, Muslims, Jews, and others, Buddhists. That's what most of them are saying, that we have to address and contribute to the betterment of the community. We have to address family life, and we have to serve the establishment of good families. I believe that is what God wanted us to do from the very beginning. God put our eyes on family and on human beings living in communities. Adam, singular and plural. Adam himself, if you understand scripture very suddenly, identified Adam not as one man only. In one context of the scripture, Adam is identified as one man only. And in another context of the scripture of the same book of Genesis, Adam is identified as a plural person. So he is seen as a person representing, depicting a figure, and then depicting a group, a community. People in great numbers, male and female, it says. He created God, male and female. He, meaning God, created them and called them Adam in the day that he made them. So this is the Genesis I'm quoting. Now, how are we to understand that he is a man called Adam and he was made one singular person, but later God addresses him not as a single person, but as a plural body. And we have heard the term the Adamic people or the Adamic race, meaning that we all are of, all of us are Adams. So Jesus, second Adam. So if you understand it, Jesus is supposed to be in some Christian school of thought. He is presented as the second Adam. I've never gone to a seminary. I've never gone to any Christian institution to be ordained a minister. But I feel like I can do a better job than most preachers that I hear in my neighborhood preaching. If I wanted to preach Christianity, I believe I would serve the gospel a little better than most of them. That's what I believe. Now, that's not my religion, and I'm not going to do that. And I respect those who are doing that. and I don't want to interfere with their work. And what I'm saying is, what preachers, if they are in the audience and know the Bible, what they will agree to, they would say, yes, he's correct. Call them Adam. So Jesus comes in the Bible, peace be upon the prophet. And he also presents himself not as one person, but also as a plural body member in Christ. That's what he said. You are members in Christ. So here are people now seen as a Christ body, same as it was for Adam. So the same idea or the same logic that is found in Genesis about the single person and the plural person we find, it also carries over into the New Testament addressing Jesus as a single body, but also as a plural body, which tells me that God doesn't want us to get our mind off of ourselves as a society or as a community. God wants us to see ourselves as a community, of our hand-on group. So they have an expression amongst the teachers of Islam, the learned, and they say, it is a saying of the prophet himself. It goes like this. It says, the control of God is on the community, so the collective body of people. So the control of God is on the collective body of people. It's laha genaity. Illa genaity. For those who speak Arabic, that's the control of God is on the collective body of people. And how do they explain what that means? How do they explain that? They explain that by saying that God holds all the people accountable, and he holds them accountable in society or in community life. That's how he holds you accountable. If you come out of community life and you say, oh, I don't want to belong to the society of human beings anymore. I want to be a reckless. I want to be a hermit. I want to be a saint living away from people. Well, you're taking yourself away from God's concern that the individualism is not God's concern. God's concern for human beings is to have them live together as family and community and to support each other for the betterment of their family, for the betterment of their community. This is what God wants from day one to this present time. Family authority. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 35, marriage arbiter. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 75, family rights. So God wants us to live with our families in a family unit. Family organizations to have respect for family authority. Families should have authorities over families. Muslim law respects family authority, says if we have a problem between husband and wife, go. God says, get witnesses from her side of the family and get witnesses. If they can't settle the family affair, the matter, get witnesses from her side of the family and get witnesses from his side of the family and bring them together to solve the family problem. So here God respects family and the power of family to live in peace and preserve their peace and keep their peace. God respects the family authority. So the family organization so much that it tells the leaders in Islam, we can't impose our own judgment upon family. We have to bring the family together. We have to listen to what the families are saying. And if they want us to be with them in counsel, there is nothing in the Quran that says an imam has to be with them. they can meet together and solve their own problem. So here is religion that goes directly to the individual, male and female, and tell you how God wants you to run your life. And when the prophet told us of God, they say, this is a legitimate quote. I'm not sure, so I'm putting it as I see them. But I don't know it is acceptable. It's a sound statement that stands up now, whether the prophet said it or not. I have searched the quotes enough to know that he really said this, but authority said he said it. So that's the control of God, is on the collective body, on the group of people. So it means that he holds us individually responsible. We belong to a collective body. We belong to a family. Family member will be held individually responsible according to our religion. And I believe it's yours too. According to our religion, God will hold the members of that family individually responsible. The father, if he's living, he will be held responsible for things that he neglected, that he saw going wrong, and wouldn't strengthen it or straighten it up if he saw the family needing help and wouldn't answer them. He's going to have to be held responsible. The mother, if she's neglecting, she's going to be held responsible. So children, don't think you are excused. If the child, the daughter, the son was in the family and didn't value the family and didn't respect the family interests, saw things hurting the family, and didn't answer the call of the family, those children would also be answering to God. Even if they are minors, they will be answering to their parents in this world as minors. But when the judgment of God comes, they are going to be answerable to God for how they disrespected their family, how they disrespected their family interests, how they disrespected mama, and how they disrespected daddy, and how they disrespect the sister or the brother, how they disrespected the properties of the family, how they disrespected the personal properties of their own mamas and entrusted them with. God is going to hold them accountable for all of that. And I'm a student of the universe. I study nature and how things evolve. And believe me, I see a logic in the universe itself that tells me, yes, God is going to do that. So much for that. Also, we are coming to the conclusion of our time period, and we want to mention to you and inform you that Sister Clara Muhammad pioneered Islamic education in the United States, have raised $5,425, and they need another $100,000 to begin the project. You can go to GoFundMe to make your donation. A donation created by friends of Imam Donnell Kareem. Also, you can purchase his book on Sister Clara Muhammad. Help make possible the publishing of Imam Donnell Kareem's book on Sister Clara Muhammad. He was the assistant to Imam W.D. Muhammad and a childhood friend. Donnell Kareem has been a practicing member of the Muslim community for over 74 years. So we should make a contribution. Also, during this pandemic, where we are restricted from having large numbers and groups in the masjid, we should take out a subscription to Muslim Journal and have it delivered to your home. And get your neighbor a subscription. This way we can make a contribution to the community, and also we'll be updated with what's happening in the Muslim community in America and throughout the world. So we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, and we will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah, it only means if it please God. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.